One, a brand new series, Be Strong. And just want to say that we're really excited about launching into a brand new year. God laid this message on my heart several weeks back, maybe months back, and just got a heart full this morning with what I believe God's got in store for us. And I believe it's some stuff that I think has the potential of saving or changing your life. And so it's going to be an awesome ride. Let me just say right off the bat that there are message notes that you'll find there in your worship guide. If you're watching online, those are there online on our website, crossbowworshipcenter.com, that you can download and follow along with us. And let me encourage you, if you're in house here today, that if you have not got your binders, there are some binders that you can use to collect all of the message notes throughout the year. And that's yours. Just take it. It's all yours. It's there on the in our area there out front, where you can just grab those. If you don't have any, get those and utilize those. Some of you, I saw some of your binders, and you just got the thing full now, and you might just need a fresh one. But anyway, volumes of message notes. But be sure to get you one of those. I'm really excited about jumping right into this series, and I have a thought as we begin this new venture of a new year. You know, when we set out on any kind of a venture, whether it be a business venture, whether it be sports, whether it be our education, or maybe even marriage itself, one of the things you want to do is you want to start strong, right? I always want to start strong. Well, we know we want to finish strong. That's a whole other subject in and of itself. But we don't even have a chance of finishing strong if we don't, first of all, start strong. And so starting strong is extremely important. So as you think about that, when you want to start out with something and start out strong, there's a preparedness that goes into anything that you want to succeed in. If it's football, there's the preseason of football, right? You're getting ready, and you're working out, and you're going to training, and you got all the camps you're going to, and you're preparing yourself for that season so that you can start strong. Right? That's important. Start strong. My team didn't do that. We played Alabama first game of the season. You know, also start with one you can beat, right? Start baby steps first. No, I'm just saying. But anyway, you want to start strong, whether it's basketball, whether it's baseball, there's preseason training that goes on. Whatever you want to start strong, and because you want to begin from a position of strength. Well, let me just say that as we embark on the new year, we need to approach it from a position of strength if we want to reach any goal that we're set for the new year. And we do need to have goals. Someone said, if you have no goals, you'll hit it every time, right? It is important to have goals. And here's what I do believe. I believe not only do we need to set goals, I believe that God has some goals set for us. Amen? God has some goals, and God has, put it this way, a plan for not only your year, but God has a plan for your life. This is the time of year we think about New Year's resolutions. And it's interesting, we like to set those, and I guess that's okay and fun to do. But statistics show that 92% of New Year's resolutions fail. Only 8% usually succeed in achieving the resolutions they've set for the year. And so 80%, they say, actually has already failed by February. So good luck with that. Have fun with it. But it doesn't always work out. I actually set a couple of New Year's resolutions. And on January the 2nd, I'd already broke two of them. But that's a true story. But anyhow, but we do need to set goals. It is important. We don't want to just meander through the year and just hope for the best. We just came out of the Christmas season. There's a song that, you know, I like to put my opinion on songs that I like or don't like. And there's a song that sung, and I'm probably hurt somebody's feelings, but that's okay. Y'all love me anyway, but have yourself a merry little Christmas. And it talks about, you know, we'll just kind of leave it to, you know, if the fates allow. Thinking, no, fate has nothing to do with it. It's our faith might have something to do, but not fate, right? And then it has a phrase, we'll just have to muddle through somehow. I'm thinking, no. That's not the way to approach the new year. We don't just want to muddle through somehow. No, we want to be intentional about life and believe for the things that we believe God has in store for us. In fact, I believe we need to believe for some bold things in 2018. We need to believe for some bold things and live intentionally as we commit this year to the Lord, that ultimately we will see the fulfillment of God's will in our lives and in our church, and we can see the increase of His kingdom in us and through us for His glory. And I believe that God is calling us. In many areas of our life, God has a call for us and for each of us, and that is and His calling is full of purpose and fulfillment for our life. And one of the things I want us to see right up front is that I believe that God is calling us individually and as a church to be strong. I don't believe God's calling us to be weak. God's not calling you to be weak. God's calling us to be strong. And you could say, well, but I'm not strong. I'm weak. And you may be that you've come through some things, and some things that perhaps even this last year that have sort of beat you up and have caused you to be devastated in some area of your life. Perhaps you went through some things and the wind has been somewhat knocked out of you and left you shaken up and rattled you, and you're dealing with something that's worn you down, and maybe you're going into 2018 tired and weak and worn instead of feeling strong. But I've got some good news for you, and that is that your weakness doesn't detour God. It actually draws Him to you, because our need is what draws God to us. So if we're weak, He actually responds because we have need of His strength. And so He has compassion. In fact, the Bible says that many times when He saw the needs of the people, Jesus in Scripture, we saw the needs of the people, He was moved with compassion to meet their needs. So your needs or your weakness doesn't scare God away. It actually causes Him to run to your rescue. So that's good news. But I've got some greater news, and that is that He doesn't just leave you in your weakness. He comes to bring His strength to you and strengthen you so that you don't have to remain there, but you can actually be strengthened because He has showed up. Amen? And so, in fact, the Bible teaches us that He chooses the weak. He chooses the weak and the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, but He does it so that He can demonstrate His power and strength in us. And so we need to be clear when we're talking about strength and we're talking about being strong. The strength that we have, the source of it, is not ourself. It's not within ourselves. It's actually Him. It's Him within us, the power that He brings to us. It's His strength. And so the Bible does have a lot to say to us about being strong. You know, I'm going to give you a reference, and let's just go to your notes right here, that's found in Joshua chapter 1. And the scene here is that God has brought the nation of Israel out of bondage, out of Egypt, and has given them a promise for a new land, a promise for a new life, free from the bondage of slavery. And He brought them forth, and He used Moses. We know the story how He brought them out of Egypt. But instead of going straight to Canaan, they actually spent 40 years in the wilderness because they lacked faith and believing God for His promise. And so God had to raise up another generation that would be courageous and bold and believe His word to be able to go in and to actually possess the land. But before they were actually going in to possess the land, Moses died. Talking about something devastating happening. And the one that was left in charge was the guy by the name of Joshua. And Joshua had been there those 40 years, and he went through it all. You know, he knew what all 2017 was like, right? He went through it all, whatever the past was. You know, he saw the good, the bad, and the ugly. For 40 years, he saw it all. But the man was Moses. Moses was the man, but now the word was coming to Joshua, you're now the man. And could you imagine him being handed this responsibility, and how was he to handle that? And it's really interesting because in the first chapter, God begins to instruct Joshua about what his calling is in this new venture, this new quest that was about to happen, in his new role of leadership And his instructions were very clear in the scripture. I want to read this to you, beginning in verse 6. It says, he said, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law. Look at this. So that you may be successful wherever you go. We want to be successful. And I know there's a lot of different definitions of the word successful. But what we're talking about is successful in the things that really matter, the things that matter in terms of eternity, the things that relate to the kingdom of God. God wants us to win. God wants you to be able to enjoy life as he intended you to enjoy. He wants you to be successful. Successful is a very good word. It's opposite of that is failure, right? God doesn't call us to be a failure. God doesn't call us to lose, but God calls us to be successful. But it's by being careful to obey the law. And he goes on to explain in that, don't turn from it to the left or to the right. And he keeps reiterating this theme throughout this entire chapter, to be strong and very courageous. In fact, four times those same words were used throughout this one chapter. Four times. I think God was trying to tell him something. And that was, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. It's interesting because we see the book of Joshua, and that's in the Old Testament. And here they are about to launch into embark on a new challenge. And the word is to be strong and courageous. But you can look at the New Testament, and there's actually a book in the New Testament that very much resembles the book of Joshua. Joshua, they were going to possess the land. The book of Acts in the New Testament is that they were also going to possess the land. But in this situation, it was that they were going to go and reach the world for Jesus. One of the guys that was instrumental in that quest was the guy by the name of the Apostle Paul. You remember Paul? He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. God greatly used him to reach the known world with the gospel. And his theme in his ministry was the same as the theme that God gave to Joshua, and that was to be strong and courageous. I'm going to show you a scripture in a few moments that gives even those exact words. But let me just give you this one right up front. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, he says this, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. So the strength that we have is in the Lord. In this context, in chapter 6 of Ephesians, Paul is actually explaining that there is some spiritual warfare. There was some warfare actually when Joshua took charge, right? They didn't just walk in and set up camp. There was actually some wars they had to fight to be able to win the victory. Well, the same thing in our life. There are some battles that we're going to face and some challenges in 2018 that we're going to face. And Paul was explaining that there's a spiritual warfare, but we can be victorious, and there is a promise of a win in it. But here was the instructions, to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. I just want to pause right here and remind us that our God is a strong God, and he is all powerful. He is not weak, and those that follow him aren't a bunch of weak, mamby-pamby, pitiful people that got nothing better to do. No, our God is a strong God. And when we follow him, let me just say, he strengthens us for the journey. He commissioned his disciples with power. You remember? Jesus commissioned them with power. And then he promised the Holy Spirit would endue us with power. One of the signs that God was with the early church was that they spoke the word of God with power. Boldness. They spoke with boldness. There was a power there. There was a strength there. I believe the same commission comes to us today. For 2018, God wants to commission us with power and with boldness and with strength. And the power we think about when we think about God's power, let me just encourage you. He's powerful in love. He's powerful in mercy. He's powerful in his loving kindness. In fact, it was the power of God and his strength that Jesus went to the cross, demonstrating his power, demonstrating his strength, and that he was strong enough to lay down his life, become sin for us, was crucified on the cross, demonstrated the power of his love. Amen? Jesus was a real man. He wasn't weak. He was a real man. Because no one took his life from him, but he laid it down willingly for us. Talking about being strong today. 1 Thessalonians. I want to give you this scripture. It's going to help us kind of with this series as we go and unpack this throughout this month. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24 gives us some insight into some areas where we need to be strengthened. Say, well, I need to be strong. What does that mean? Let me give you this hope that's found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. Paul says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. And then look at this. He says, may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Interestingly, he talks about three different areas of which we are made up of. He says, may your whole spirit, your soul, and your body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to break this down in this series, and I want us to look at these areas because, listen, we're made up of three different things as human beings. There is a spirit part of us. You say, well, I'm not a spiritual person. Well, believe it or not, you are a spiritual person because that's the way God made you. And there is a place in you, a capacity where God lives, his spirit resides. And that's the part that's going to live forever. It's a place where it's made just for God. It's that spirit part of us. And then there's the soul part that Paul describes. And that's talking about the emotional part of us and the mind, the part that has feelings and emotions, right? And then there's, of course, the body. And here's the thing. The area in which you feed, which one of those you feed, is the one that's going to take charge. But if you feed the spirit, that spiritual part of you, it has the ability and the strength to take care of the other areas. The problem with that is half the time we're led by one of those other things. We're led by our emotions. We're led by our body. Our body calls the shots. Whatever it craves, we want, we get, right? One of the things we're going to talk about in a couple weeks is the body. We're going to talk about the soul next week. We're going to talk about the body the week following. You know, it's that area that this time of year we like to focus on with New Year's resolutions. I like the story about the person who said, you know, I've got a New Year's resolution. I'm going to lose 10 pounds this year. And then they were six months into the year, and they said, I only got 20 pounds to go, right? You know? But it's true. We're made up of those three parts, soul, our spirit, our soul, and our body. And then I love how he tags this on the end. He says, the one who calls you is faithful, he will do it. So the way that we're going to be successful in any of these areas is that by the strength of the Lord that he gives. And let me just say this. We're actually not just a physical being having a temporary spiritual experience now and then. We're actually a spiritual being having a temporary physical experience because we are going to live forever somewhere. Amen? We are actually spiritual beings with a temporary earthly physical experience that we're having now. But here's the thing. If we want to have the best year ever of our life, we're going to have the best year spiritually. If you make a decision to have the best year spiritually of your life, then you will have the best year of your life in every area of your life. So I'm going to talk about this first one for just a moment this morning, and that is the area of the spirit. So I'm encouraging you today to take the challenge to be strong in spirit. And to give you an illustration of what I mean by the spirit, I want to give you a scripture that Jesus shared. He shared a parable about a sower. It's found in Matthew chapter 13. It's there in your notes. Look at it here also on the screen with me. And Jesus said, then he told them many things in the parable saying, and here's what he said, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil, and it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up and the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root, other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. And still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Very interesting as Jesus shares this. In fact, he goes on later in the chapter and he actually breaks down this parable and he tells what each one of these represents. And he goes through each one of these. But the point of this is that in every situation, without me going into a lot of detail here, but the point of it is that in every situation, the seed, there was nothing wrong with the seed, but the only difference in whether something came forth was where the seed landed. In some places, it was the cares of life that came up and choked it out. In some places, the rocky places, it landed and it was received with joy, but it didn't have much root. It didn't last very long. It was good for the month of January, but February came along, life happened, and they were gone, right? We look at other places where the cares of life or troubles or persecutions came in and the thorns came, choked out the word. It didn't bring forth. But it said on others, it fell on good soil where it produced a crop. And so here's what I want to show us, and that is there's nothing wrong with the seed. The seed was good. The variable was the soil. And the soil, what I want us to see is the soil is actually that spirit part of us. Today, seed is going forth. God's word is going forth. Where is it landing? How is your soil? So how is the soil? And so really what we're talking about is the heart of us, the core of who we are, our spirit man, the innermost being. And so how is your soil? In fact, let's just do a soil test, shall we? Let's just do a soil test. In fact, when you build a building, if you settle on the venture of building a building, you want to first test the soil to make sure it's going to support the building, right? So if we're going to set out this year on seeing things happen in our lives, in our church, in our family, and our business, our children, whatever it is, we need to make sure we're going to establish it on something that it's going to be established well, and it's going to stand up, right? So let's test the soil. In fact, let's test it in three areas, because if we're talking about the spirit part of us, there's three areas the Bible tells us that we're going to have trouble. If we're going to have problems with our soil, right? Soil can be acidic, right? Where you can't grow plants in it or have different qualities in it where it's not right. Well, our spirit has different things within it that can actually pull us down. And the Bible describes it this way. One is the lust of the flesh. One is the lust of the eyes. And the one is the pride of life. And it's found in John chapter 1 and verse 2. And here's what we know. And that is that the first one, the lust of the flesh, is simply this. Here's the trouble we have. Let me just put it in plain English. This is kind of borrowed this from the Messenger. I want my own way. That's a problem for us. So our soil, our heart, is oftentimes oriented to selfishness. I want my own way. I want what I want. I want it now. I'm not going to be content. I'm not going to be happy until I get my way. And so, come on, everybody. You don't have to tell anybody where you are with that, but do a soil check. How's my soil? I want my own way. 1 John 2 and 16 says, for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh. And this has always been the case. In fact, it was the area of the original sin. They looked at the apple. It looked good to the flesh. It appealed to them. It was pleasing to the eyes. It was able to make one wise. So in all these areas, it's been there throughout. And we've inherited this gene, okay? We've inherited this seed. That all of us are tempted in this area that I want my own way. That's kind of our Adamic nature that's passed down to us. Another thing that we fall prey to if we're not careful is we're testing our soil, and that is that we find ourselves that where we say, I want everything for myself. I want everything for myself. So there is the craving of our flesh of what we want, but then there's also this lust of the eyes, as First John 2 and 16 says, the lust of the eyes. Whatever I see, I want. And then the third area is that I want to appear important. Again, it goes on to say, not only the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, but the pride of life. And it says, in all these, because comes not from the Father, but from the world. Mark 4:28 puts it this way. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel of the head. So what produces the stalk? It says all by itself, the soil produces the grain. Doesn't say the seed, it actually says the soil. So the factor, the variable is, how is our soil? Meaning, how is our spirit? How is our heart? Do we receive? And really, that's what we're talking about, is our heart. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinks in his heart, not his mind, not his intelligence, but his heart, the core of who you are, the spirit of you. What kind of spirit do you have? As you think in your heart, so are you. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. So, we put a lot of emphasis on our body this time of year. A lot of us put attention on even the emotional side of us, and we just want to be happy. We want things to go well and feel good. But the most important thing is our heart, the spirit of who we are, because it's going to determine your course for your life. So if we do a soil check and we say, okay, there may be some areas that I need to work on. There's some cravings in and of myself where my body wants certain things and it's got to have it. There may be some areas in our life where we see certain things and the Bible calls this covetousness, where we're wanting something else. We always want something more, something that somebody else has. We're never content. Or maybe it's the pride of life, but we just want to be significant and we're going to do everything we can to be somebody. And there's nothing wrong with good self-esteem, but going full-blown, if you're not careful, it can lead to this thing of pride. And the Bible says of all the things he hates, God hates pride, right? And a proud look. So what do we do about that? How do we address this? How do we have a strong spirit? Let me give you this scripture. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13, where Paul says, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith. And look at this, same words that we see in Joshua. Be courageous and strong. Those are the instructions. So how do we do that? Let me give you some practicals. Write this down there on your notes. Number one, I will get close to God. Make that your goal this year, to say, I will get close to God. How can I be strong? We're not going to be strong in and of ourselves, because the fact of the matter is we are weak. And our tendency is to fall prey to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. What we want, what we see, and being important. We gravitate to that. How do we stand strong? We need to declare, I will get close to God in 2018. And even Jesus himself put it this way. In Matthew 26 and 41, he says, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. And he says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So the goal there is don't follow the flesh. Don't follow your instincts of your cravings and all those things we just listed. But instead, the spirit is willing. So the goal there then is to feed the spirit. How do we do that? He says to watch and pray. We're being aware of what's going around us, on around us. We're aware, but yet we watch, but we pray, and we know where our source of help comes from. Amen? That's a good scripture. So how do we do that? Let me be practical with you. Here at Crosspoint, we're launching our 21 days of prayer today. Go all in. Make a determination. Make a choice to go all in for God and get close to God. Amen? If God seems far away, get close to him. The Bible puts it this way. Draw near to him and he's going to draw near to you. We take a step towards him and he's going to take a big leap towards us. But make a step. Make a decision. Do something different. Make a change. You say, well, I need a change. Well, in order to have a change, you got to make a change, right? You got to make a decision. So make a change, make a decision, and go all in. So what you're doing is we're going to distance ourselves from other things for 21 days, and we're going to go all in prayer and in fasting. And let me just say to you that perhaps those of you that may have not really done a lot of fasting. You think, well, that's a little aggressive. I don't know about all that. Let me just encourage you. There's different types of fasts that you can do. And I don't want to be legalistic about this, but you need to choose a fast and do something. And I would also encourage right up front that if you're choosing to fast food, that you do need to consult a doctor if you're going to go a full fast, and make sure that you don't have physical needs, and be practical about that. But a full fast, let me break this down for you. A full fast would be simply this. A full fast would be going all in for a day, or perhaps even 3 days. It could be water only. I would definitely recommend juice if you're going to fast. And there's some good resources that we can give you along with that. That's a full fast. A partial fast would be to set aside a meal or a lunch, or perhaps you fast all day and then eat an evening meal or a combination there. That's a partial fast. A lot of people like here at Crossway like to do this, and it's called the Daniel fast, where you don't eat any meats or sweets or breads, but you just eat fruits and vegetables for 21 days. But I encourage you to do something. It may be that you need to just abstain. Maybe you can't do food, but maybe you just need to abstain from something and just clear things out and get a fresh start and just clear your mind and abstain from some things. Perhaps social media would be a good thing to abstain from, right? Right. Let me give you this though. But in everything we're doing, what we're doing is we're setting things aside to draw near to God, draw close to God. Billy Graham, I saw this, it was actually a tweet I saw this week from Billy Graham I thought was so good. He says, prayer is a gift from God's hand just as much as the Bible. We're going to talk about the Word next week, okay, as we talk about our soul part of us and how we stand. But look at this, prayer is a gift from God's hand just as much as the Bible. And He has given us the privilege of prayer because He loves us and wants our fellowship. And so here at Crosspoint, our rally cry around here is always pray first. Before we do anything else, we want to pray first. At the beginning of the year, we want to pray first. But this is what it's about. It's really about drawing in and having this fellowship Billy Graham's talking about. Having a relationship with God. Praying. In fact, Jesus said in Luke 18:1, men ought always to pray and not faint. Ought always to pray. So it's a conversation all day and all night. A conversation with God. It doesn't have to be anything fancy or formal. You know, if you're out with someone and you're going to the store, you're with your wife or your husband, you're traveling and you're going in the car, guess what you're going to do? You're going to talk to each other, right? I mean, it would be unnatural just not to talk and have a conversation. And you're there in the house together and you're talking, you're having a conversation, right? You're hanging out together. You're going, whatever you're doing, you're talking, you're communicating because it's just what you do because the other person's there. Guess what? God is with you. And He just wants to have a conversation with you all day long. Amen? Right? Right? He wants to hear from you. He loves it. And be real with Him. You know? If you're having a bad day, say, God, I'm not doing well. And He says, what is it? Talk to me. What's the matter? Work? What's wrong? Got to go back tomorrow. Oh, you know, come on, just talk to Him. Be real. And talk to Him. It's having a conversation with God, but going all in and seeking Him with all of our heart. And what's going to happen when we do this, the Bible even alludes to praying without ceasing. What's going to happen is you're going to begin to strengthen your spirit through prayer. You're going to get close to Him. And guess what happens when you get close? When you get close, there's this thing called intimacy. And that in the natural, when intimacy occurs, guess what? Life happens. There's the birth of life. Something is birthed out of that intimacy. Can I tell you, with intimacy with God, spiritually speaking, something is going to be birthed out of that intimacy with God. And it doesn't come any other way. You're going to be barren without it. But when you pray and when you go all in, when you seek Him and you pray and you enter in this place of intimacy, I'm telling you, it is going to produce something. It begins in the spiritual, but it will manifest itself in the natural. Can I get a good amen right there from somebody? Amen. Amen. So we need to go all in and get intimate with God. Isaiah, this is not in your notes, but let me give this to you. Isaiah 59, 1 and 2 says, surely the arm of the Lord is not short to save. In other words, he's strong. He's powerful. His arm's not short. He's not weak. He's not anemic. And his ear is not too dull to hear. He can hear us. But then look what it goes on to say. But your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear. So what happens is, it's that God is strong. God is available. God is willing. God is ready. God's got an agenda for 2018. God's got a plan for your life in 2018. But the problem is, he's here and we're here, but there's something separated us. And if we really want to get detailed, it's going to fall into one of those three areas that we just named. But when we draw close to God, and we get intimate with God, and we let God deal with those things, and we let God begin to purify our minds, and purify our body, and come in and fill our spirit, and purify our spirit, and change us, let me tell you, we're going to find out that his arm is powerful. We're going to find out that his ear hears us, and that God moves on behalf of his people, right? I'm telling you. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and 9 says this, "For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him." So we're strengthened. We're strengthened by him. He looks and he roams, his eyes roam, seeking whom he may show himself strong on their behalf. So, number one, I will get close to God. Let me give you a second one. I will have a right attitude. I will have a right attitude. I first wrote this down. I said, I get a right attitude. Darren thought that sounded a little bit too rough. We'll get a right attitude. Well, if you don't have one, get one, okay? I'm going to have a right attitude. Attitude has to do with perspective. It's seeing things through God's eyes. And Jesus addressed this in Matthew 6:22 when he says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. And if your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness." Interesting, isn't it? We talk about attitude, it's talking about perspective. It's how we see things. And Jesus said, basically, it's the eye gate for the inner man. It's going to change the whole, every area of our life, how we see things, our perspective. Isn't that also interesting that it's described that the God of this world, the little g God of this world, has blinded their eyes that they can't see, has changed their perspective. And so for some of us to get a right attitude, we might need to not only abstain from food, we might need to abstain from TV for a while. You know, some of you go get the shakes, you got to get your news on, and all that stuff. Might want to take a political break, who knows, you know, might do you well. Refresh your mind, refresh your spirit, right? Maybe you just need to get away from movies and what you look at and what you listen to that puts a wrong spirit within you and be free and get a different perspective. It might be that you need to push away from the worry of money and the possessions and the materialism and understand what life is really all about. In fact, Hebrews chapter 13 and 5, actually this was shared this week from Jeremy, one of our dream teamers here, and one of my favorite verses, and I just said, I'm going to use that. Hebrews chapter 13 and 5 says, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." Can you get a hold of that verse? It's basically saying, I mean, I have all this stuff, but I'm content because what more could I have? Because I have a promise. He who's faithful, who has promised, I will never leave you and I'll never forsake you. That's good stuff. What a promise. What more could you want? And then Psalm 37. I'm just feeding you spirit here this morning, guys. Psalm 37 says this: "Trust in the Lord and do good, and dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture." God wants you to just to have good pasture. He wants to lead you and guide you this year. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. Get a right attitude. Let me tell you something. It is a choice. Okay? So get close to God. I will have a right attitude. Number three, I will keep a humble spirit. Write that one down. That's a good one. I will keep a humble spirit. A humble spirit. A humble spirit is a teachable spirit. People come in new to Crosspoint, I'm always encouraging them, always have a teachable spirit. Always be able to receive. Don't put up walls. Be humble. Be teachable. Let God mold your heart. Let God speak into your life. Let people pastor you. Let people encourage you. Have a teachable spirit. 1 Peter 5 says this, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another, because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, and he will, that he may lift you up in due time. Now, you say, oh, that's good. I'm going to humble myself, then he's going to lift me up, then I'm going to be somebody. No, that's not what it's saying there. If you look at the context of it, he's talking about authority, he's talking about pastors, he's talking about shepherds and about serving. What it's saying there is, as we humble ourselves before God, he's going to exalt you to a greater place of servanthood. It's not about you get up and then others going to serve you. No, it's actually that God's going to elevate you in the area of servanthood, and in due time, God's going to bless you and make you have more influence, right? So he's going to lift you up in due time. And then he says, I love this, cast your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Amen? Amen. So let me just park right here for just a brief moment in this area of having a humble spirit. At Cross Point Worship Center and in our lives, listen, may we never, ever get to the point where we say, oh, I got this. Now, there's nothing wrong with being confident, but our confidence is in the Lord. Confidence comes when we're obeying God's word, and there's a confidence and boldness that comes with that as we approach the throne of grace. But let me just tell you something. We should never have our culture. We're talking about our culture, our soil, our heart. Our culture should never be this arrogant, we've got this, but we should forever be learning and growing. I want our church to always be a culture that's always evaluating, always learning, always changing. We're never going to get to the point where we say, oh, now we understand and we got it together. Now, no, we will always be evaluating, always changing the methods. Message will never change, but the methods will change, because we want to have a culture that is always humble and learning and able to receive. We want to be a culture that has good soil where we can receive God's word. Amen? Does this make any sense to anybody? We want to be that kind of culture that is a culture of honoring, a culture of humility. We can always say, we can always get better. So when we do things around here or change things around here or get information, can I tell you something? It's not about information. The changes we do and the things we do as a church, it's not about just, oh, we now got this information, we know how to do this and this and this. It's not about information, it's about heart and it's about soul. You can have all the right information and have all the right facts and doing all the right things and have all the mechanics, but if your soul and your heart is not humble to receive and always continuing to be teachable, you've missed the whole thing. If we ever think we've got this figured out, that's the day we'll stop growing. Just pastor you there. Everybody good? Everybody good? I know it's heavy today, but man, we're hitting in 2018 running, all right? Romans 12:3 says this, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought. And Jesus himself said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn, be teachable, learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, Jesus himself. And you will find, look at that, rest for your souls, right? And I believe that rest represents strength. Let me give you a last one. I will be strong in the Lord. I will be strong in the Lord. 2 Corinthians 12 says this, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in weakness. Now, Paul had wrestled with something that was bothering him. He called it a thorn in his flesh, something he couldn't get rid of. And he tried to get rid of it. And God's word came to him with this message. My grace is sufficient for you. And my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So if you've got an area where you say, well, that's a weak area in my life. Guess what? That area is there. Look. Not to destroy you, but to cause you to depend upon him so that he can manifest his power and his strength within you and show himself strong on your behalf and as a witness to others of the great power and strength of the Lord. Amen? Paul said, and we know this scripture. Let me just encourage you with these. Write some of these references down. Philippians 4:13. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Talking to someone before church, we think, what does that mean? He's going to give us strength to lift the car and do some great physical feat. Actually, Paul was talking about in the context of that, I know how to have nothing, or I know how to have everything. And I can do that, all that, with Christ's strength. He's saying, I could be in jail and have nothing, and be in chains, and yet I can do that and be content because of his strength within me. Or I could have a lot and be able to handle that too because of the strength of God with me. I can do that. And I have, whatever the situation, it doesn't matter because it's about his strength in every circumstance of life. Isn't that good? Ephesians says this, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. That was Paul's prayer to the Ephesians. And then I said, let me just land it with this one. Isaiah 40 says this, he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those whose hope, one version says, those that wait upon the Lord, those that are trusting in the Lord, those whose hope is in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And that's what we're going to do in 2018, and especially during these 21 days of prayer and fasting. We are seeking him. We're waiting on him. Our hope is in him. And the Bible says what's going to happen in the midst of that? He's going to renew our strength. He spoke to a guy named Elijah one time, God did. And when Elijah was extremely discouraged and basically wanted to die, and God spoke to him and said, get up and eat because you need strength for the journey. I believe that God's saying to us today, we need strength for the journey because there's some things that God wants to see us do in 2018 and he wants to accomplish through us. Because look, it's not just about us. It's about those who have yet to hear. It's those who have yet to come. And God wants to use us, but God needs us strengthened for the journey to accomplish the task that he has called us to, that is before us. So I want to encourage us today. Be strong and courageous. And can I tell you something? We'll say, well, that's a nice idea. I do need to be stronger. But according to Scripture, as it was spoken to Joshua, it was a commandment. It was a commandment. In fact, in one of those times where he mentions be strong and good courage, he says, have not I commanded you to be strong and of good courage? Well, how can he command us? Well, he can't command us unless it's something we can do. We can do it. We can be strong by making choices, come on, to get closer to God, right? To have a right attitude, to have a right perspective, to have a humble spirit, and to be strong, look at this, not in ourselves, but in the Lord. In the Lord. God's called us to be bold. The early church was greatly persecuted, and they had a lot of things up against them. But yet, when they would call some of the church leaders in and question them, the leaders of the day in the government, they were amazed by them because they spoke with such boldness. And they realized they had been with Jesus. I believe that the mark of 2018 needs to be the mark of our strength in the Lord. God's not called us to crawl into 2018, muddle through it. God's called us to be bold and to be strong in spirit, to be courageous in our faith, to be bold in 2018. And here's an area I want to tell you that you can be bold in. The beginning of the year, you always think about vision. Vision, what's ahead of us, right? The vision of God is always the same. It's people. It's his lost kids. It's the harvest. We call it the harvest. But it's his lost kids. And I want to tell you, when your heart lines up with his heart, your spirit lines up with his spirit, you'll understand that what God's called us to is lost kids, lost children, people who need to connect with God. And when we pray in that fashion, God, give us the harvest. I want to tell you, we can have boldness that God not only hears us, but God will answer that prayer. For many of us, I don't know what your prayer is this year. It may be healing in some area of your life. It may be physical, it may be financial, it may be spiritual. But we need a healing, but we need to be strengthened in our body. Yes, we need to be strengthened in our soul. We need to also be strengthened in our spirit. But whatever that prayer is, here's what I'm asking you to do this morning. Join me this year in praying some bold prayers. Sometimes we pray things that we don't even need God's help in pulling them off. We can do it ourselves. So, you know what I mean? I believe God wants us to believe Him and honor Him with our faith by asking for something bold. I don't know what's on your list, but I'm praying for some bold things in 2018. I pray God give us some boldness. Maybe it's your family. Maybe it's your family members. Maybe it's a job. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's an area of ministry that you're involved in and you want to see results. You want to see eternal results that matter for eternity's sake. I want to encourage you, be bold. Be bold in 2018. Come on, let's pray some bold prayers. So your last blank there, here's what I want you to write down. Today I am courageously believing God for, and then I want you to write down what that is. And maybe you don't know exactly what all that is, and maybe that line is not near long enough. But I want to encourage you, make a list. Get specific. Be bold. Be courageous. Believe God. The Bible says it's impossible to please Him without faith. So we're going to honor Him with our faith. We're going to be bold. The first thing we're going to do, though, in our prayers, is we're going to say, God, begin with me. Change my spirit. Bible talks about the fact that the outward man could be falling apart. Everything could be happening wrong, but God will strengthen the inner person, the inner being, who we are. And that's where He resides. In fact, none of this other stuff will work. And nothing will work for you in 2018 till you get this part right first. I don't have to preach that at you. You'll find it out. You'll be back. Life will preach it at you that it doesn't work in any other order. You got to make Jesus the Lord of your life and let Him come and reign in that place that was made only for Him. And when He comes in, resides in your spirit, man, then everything else begins to change. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, thank You for Your word. I know it was a lot of word today. But my heart's full. I believe You want us to be bold this year. You've not called us to weakness. You call us to strength. But without You, oh, we're so weak. We're so weak. We cannot boast of strength. We're weak. Even our strength before You is nothing but weakness. And we're people in need of You. Lord, I pray for that one that really needs to make You Lord of their life. You're on the list, but You're not the top of the list. God, I pray today they'll make You the top of the list. They'll put You first. They'll put their life in order, which is really what salvation is all about. Putting You in first place so that You can put everything else in our life in order. Oh, thank You, God. Thank You for the opportunity we have today to step out in bold faith, give You Your rightful place. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're here today and you know that you need to take that first step, you need Him to come in your spirit, reside inside of you, be Lord of your life. Something that you need to set right. It may be that you once had that in right order, but somehow or other with the process of life, it's just not where it needs to be. I want to give you a beautiful opportunity to come and make that right today. And here's the way we do it here. We don't have you stand or come to the front or embarrass you. But right where you're sitting, my heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm just going to lead you in a prayer right where you're sitting. But if that's you and you say, that's me, Pastor, when you pray, would you count me in that prayer? If you're watching online, join us. If you're here, would you just do this? Would you just slip up a hand? Just say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, would you count me in? Would you include me in that? God bless you today. God bless you today. Yes, good job. We're proud. Yes, good job. Amen. heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. If you need to pray this, come on, just let me help you with the words. Let me just lead you in this prayer, but just mean it, and everything's going to change. Watching online, join us. Just say something like this. Today, God, I invite you in. Be the Lord of my life. Take your rightful place. Come on the inside. Make me brand new. Forgive me for allowing other things to take your place. Forgive me for going my way. God, your way is the only way that works. I ask you to come in. Come on the inside. Make me brand new. Thank you for dying on the cross, paying the price so I can be free. Today, I give you my life. And I declare with all my heart, I'll follow you as you help me. God, thank you for everyone who just prayed that prayer and meant it. I thank you for change that's now come. I thank you, God, that we are, by your power, born again of the Spirit. New beginning. The past is the past. All things have become new. I thank you for that, God. I thank you, Lord, now that you're guiding us step by step, day by day, to walk boldly in your footsteps and follow you fully, fully. God, thank you for helping us as a church to go all in, to go all in, to believe you with boldness for great things. Oh, God, we will not turn back or shy away, but with boldness, through your grace, we approach the throne. And we thank you, God, that you are willing and able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. So today, God, we believe in you for great things. Believing you for great things. God, we pray your kingdom come. Your will be done in us and through us. We'll give you all the praise in Jesus' wonderful name. And everybody said amen.